This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
For energy giant BP, the difference between a profit and a loss is investment in Russia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The company formerly known as British Petroleum is out with its first quarter earnings today, and whether it made a profit or a loss during the first 3 months of the year hinges on whether you include a $25.5 billion one-time charge for exiting its Russia operations. AJ Bell Investment Director Russ Mould has been digging through the numbers for us. He first explains what BP's decision to abandon its stake in Russian oil company Rosneft means financially for BP.
It means that BP has actually made a loss on an accounting basis of $20 billion. It is looking to sell its one-fifth stake in Rosneft and a couple of other assets. But I guess they're taking the view that it might be hard to find a buyer, or at least an acceptable one to governments or to themselves, given sanctions and everything else. So they've probably taken a view that they'll prepare for the worst, hope for the best, pretty much write the whole lot off, and that's why they're losing $20 billion in a quarter, on paper at least.
And on paper, that's the case. If we exclude that loss, though, which is a one-time charge, the company booked its best quarterly performance in a decade, and soaring oil prices are likely the key to that, isn't it?
Natural gas prices up 150% year on year, oil prices up 50% year on year. So yeah, BP, $6.2 billion profit in the first quarter alone, excluding all of those accounting issues with regard to Russia. Best quarter in a decade. And refining is good as well. The business of turning oil into gas, that is also going extremely well at the moment.
And we should mention this isn't just a funny accounting thing that BP is trying to do to make earnings look better. Excluding these one-time charges is common for companies to do with things like this.
It is, and I think writing off over $25 billion worth of Russian assets is genuinely extraordinary. I've had one or two cynical questions today suggesting BP is trying to make its numbers look worse than they would do, so talk of a windfall tax goes away, but I guess that's possibly a little bit cynical. I think BP are just applying generally accepted accounting principles.
And you mentioned the windfall tax there. Rising energy prices are a big headache for the rest of us, even though they've helped boost the bottom line there at BP. The UK has been weighing what it's calling a windfall tax on energy companies to help bring down those energy costs for consumers. How is that being received at BP?
Oil companies already pay an extra 10 percentage points of tax relative to the standard UK corporation tax rate. BP has been pushing back, saying they don't think it's appropriate because it would deter them from investing in the short-term need for hydrocarbons and the long-term need for renewable energy and bridging that transition. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has today put out a statement saying that he doesn't think it's the right thing to do. The Minister of Finance, Rishi Sunak, he seems to be wavering a little bit and perhaps having a look at the issues because he's the one that's got to balance the books. And intriguingly, Italy has today announced an increase in its planned windfall tax to up to, I think, an extra 25 percentage points of tax on energy companies' profits. So it is an issue that's going around not just the UK, but Europe as well.
BP, though, has announced that it will invest in the UK, I think, some $18 billion.
That's correct. And now it's hard to tell from the bold statement whether that's new projects or one that they've announced already, because Chief Executive Officer Bernard Looney announced 2 years ago a very wide range of renewable and alternative energy projects, solar, wind, and BP has also got plans to do some oil and gas work in the UK and Norwegian waters. Whether that's new or not is a little bit hard to tell, because BP is planning on spending between $14 and $15 billion a year anyway on its day-to-day business.
Russ Mould, AJ Bell Investment Director, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
As London's FTSE 100 reopens today after a holiday, investors are taking the upbeat view on this morning's BP results. Shares jumped more than 3% before falling back slightly. Meanwhile, oil prices are taking a fresh tumble as we check some other numbers now. The Brent and West Texas crude benchmarks are down in the 1% range as EU energy ministers weigh an embargo on Russian crude and as concerns persist about the effects of continued lockdowns in China will have on demand. Fresh data out today shows Hong Kong's economy contracted 4% in the first quarter from a year ago. That's due to strict COVID-19 mitigation measures. Economists had expected a smaller contraction of 1.3%. To Australia now, where interest rates have risen for the first time in 11 years. Policymakers there say the quarter percentage point rise is aimed at getting inflation back on target. But as the BBC's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney, the move also comes just ahead of a general election.
Australia's interest rates have been at historic lows during the pandemic to encourage people to spend. But inflation is now surging at more than 5%. The Reserve Bank wants to stop the economy overheating and is making money more expensive to borrow. More rate hikes are expected in the months ahead. That's good for savers, but it's estimated that 300,000 Australians could default on their mortgages as repayments increase. It could damage the re-election chances of the government that's put economic management at the heart of its campaign. And it's the first rate rise during an election since 2007. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
Global attention over the last 2 years has been all consumed by the COVID-19 pandemic and now Russia's raging war in Ukraine. As that happens, China is continuing to expand its economic interests in many European countries through its Belt and Road Initiative. But it's controversial with allegations of environmental damage and so-called debt traps where Beijing has moved in. China denies the accusations and insists it frequently offers investment where other countries are unwilling to do so. The BBC's Nick Beek has been looking into progress on some of those projects, including one at the Greek port Piraeus outside Athens.
Well, we're now in what is effectively a car park for container ships. They are packed with all different types of goods that are coming into Europe. This is a vital gateway into the continent for China. But it's controversial, the expansion of this port.
Back on shore, dock workers have been striking over safety concerns following a fatal crane accident. And local lawyer Anthi Yanulu tells us she's fighting to stop unchecked dredging of the seabed and toxic pollution.
It will not benefit Piraeus. It will benefit other people that do not live here.
Foreign Minister Nikos Dendias reminds us that China was the only investor to come forward when Brussels and Berlin pushed the Greek government to sell public assets as part of a bailout deal.
China has an entry point for its products to the European Union, and we have a big commercial port up to date. We judge the investment on commercial grounds. I mean, if the Chinese want to invest, we're a free country and a free economy.
Venture north through the Balkans and you reach Montenegro. We're driving along the country's first motorway, but it's deserted. Successive European feasibility studies concluded it was too expensive and too difficult to build. So China stepped in with a loan. But in 6 years, only 25 miles have been built. And the cost? 1 billion euros. The terms of the deal state that Beijing could take control of the key port of Bar if the loan is not paid back. None of the Chinese state companies responded to the allegations made against them. As Europe is consumed by the war in Ukraine and scrambles to abandon Russian energy, Beijing keeps on lending and building and expanding its influence.
That's the BBC's Nick Beek ending that report in Matešovo, Montenegro there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.